Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good afternoon. It is a Friday afternoon, 97.1 FM Talk, and it's a Reardon Roundtable as we take you into the weekend. Some people might be unaware it's state law, the legislature. I think they passed this when Tim Jones was speaker, that you have to listen to the roundtable heading into the weekend. And there's fines or something like that that's associated with some of these things, right?
Eric Schmidt and I did that, yes.
And I appreciate it. Yes. Tim Jones is on the panel this afternoon, and beyond that, in the studio, which is a great feeling. Now, I've seen you a couple of times here in the past few weeks.
Yes.
Jane Duker appeared.
I'm here.
In the studio, amongst the vaccinated and normal
amongst
people.
Amongst the vaccinated, and I showered. Big deal. I actually combed the hair.
So glad.
And she smells fresh.
Yeah. I smell fresh. And I can't even believe how excited I am to be back in this building.
I am totally giddy with joy.
Well, I'm
saw Kevin Killeen.
The goal here is to have everyone back for the roundtable. Steve Butts is still on Zoom today because I don't think we could get him special dispensation. We're working on it. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, but I'm double vaccinated, showered, ready to go. I would have been there.
Yeah, and we were trying to get everyone approved, but the company's being a little cautious, as you might expect. So we're going to get you in here. We'll get all the panelists in here soon enough. We're going to talk about COVID and that situation. We're going to start, though, with Chicago and what happened with the video that was released of this shooting from March 29th. A 13-year-old kid out in the middle of the night. And he's shot by a police officer. This is actually an interview that was done on CBS this morning with one of the attorneys. Adriana Diaz was the correspondent. Adina Weiss-Ortiz is the lawyer.
Everybody needs to recognize that child was given a directive. He complied. He surrendered. He turned to the officer with his hands up, and then he was shot.
What do you make of the freeze frame that the police has released, where they say this is a gun in Adam's right hand?
I see a blurry image of something, but I can't tell you what is in his hand. They can't tell you what's in his hand. At this point, we don't know what, if anything, was in that child's hand. And if I can't see it in the real-time video, which the officer was looking at him in real time, how could everybody say that he had a gun in his hand?
All right, this came out yesterday when I was on the air, and I looked at the video. I was cautious. My instincts were, this does not look good. I've completely turned around within 24 hours. There is absolutely no doubt, zero doubt in my mind, this is a justifiable shooting. And I cannot believe that nobody in the mainstream media, like nobody, is even going to dare touch the issue of a 13-year-old kid out at 2 in the morning with a 21-year-old kid gangbanging and shooting weapons off. That's what this is about. This is not about a cop shooting an unarmed suspect. He had guns. The cop supposed to wait until he shot himself? So this is another one of those cases which is very clear cut after you look at the angles of the video and you see the information, but it's not going to matter.
And my concern is even under the lawyer's own argument that she was making, was there was something in his hand and we don't know what it is. So why does a police officer have to wait? I mean, they heard gunfire, shot spotted,
but here's the
everything.
Deal. Okay.
And so, you know, the idea and the kids running. And I mean, look, I want to see more and more evidence, and this will all come out. And I'm not saying that I know everything, but if there was legitimately a belief that something was in his hand, I think that weighs in favor of the police officer.
There was something in his hand, and it was a gun. Okay, so I can advance this forward a little bit more than the attorney because she wants to dance around the edge.
I heard some rumors of that.
Have you seen the video from behind the fence?
Yeah, but it was like a nanosecond where he dumped the gun and turned.
Absolutely.
0.7 seconds.
Right. And you know what? That cop had to make a decision. Right. And you know what would have prevented the shooting of Adam Toledo? If he was in his bed getting ready for school as a 13-year-old, not gangbanging in the middle of the night.
2:30 a.m.
Right. Yep. So that's what this is about. But nobody wants to have that conversation. So
Mark, there was 129. There have been 129 homicides in Chicago up to this point in time. And I haven't heard a lot of protests or yelling or screaming about that.
Of course not.
We have one incident involving a police officer, and everybody wants to light their hair on fire on the far, far, far left. But yeah, this kid who he's not a child. He apparently had some kind of gang nickname as well, and he's hanging out with these 21-year-old known felons. And you know, he's not a choir boy. Maybe he should have been. And where were the parents in all of this?
Well, I think this is a much different case than what happened with Dante Wright in Minneapolis too.
Even different than that.
But yeah, sure. On this particular one, Steve, what do you say?
Okay, so he is still a child at 13. I mean, come on. That, you know, we might debate people who are 16 or 17, but at 13 he is a child. But when I saw it, I said, what is the kid doing out that late running around with a gun? I mean, I just feel like everybody's got a gun, and he's way too young to have a gun, and he shouldn't be running around in the alley late at night, and horrible things happen, and this is just one more. I don't know when the gun violence is going to stop. I don't really have a good answer for it.
Well, but here, let me play this. This is a guy who is apparently a new legal analyst on CNN, Bektari Sellers.
Only in America can you be in the middle of a trial in closing arguments for a cop killing a black man with a knee on his neck, only to be interrupted by a cop accidentally killing another black man, only to be interrupted by a 13-year-old boy in an alley turning around with no gun in his hand being shot.
All right. Well, again, we know about the last part, but let me tell you something else that all three of those cases did have in common. They were all criminals, okay? Mm-hmm. George Floyd had a record. He was resisting arrest. They all resisted arrest. Dante Wright resisted arrest. This young man, Adam Toledo, resisted arrest, ran, and he had a gun, okay? So in Dante Wright's situation, we can visit that in a second. I do think it's different because there was a terrible, terrible mistake that was made by that officer. I do believe it was a mistake, but it was a negligent mistake, probably. But in this particular situation, we're going to have another debate about how cops are killing black people in America when the information and the data says exactly the opposite. The people killing black people in America are criminals armed with guns in St. Louis, in North County, in Chicago. Look, I got a piece up right now from the Chicago Sun-Times. I can Google this thing about Adam Toledo, and here's another one. 17-year-old girl dies after being shot in the head in Little Village. Those are the stories that are happening every day, and this is what the cops are up against, trying to prevent 17-year-old kids being shot by 13-year-old gangbangers. That's what's happening in this country.
And I will tell you this, and fair disclosure, I represent the police officers of St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and I also represent the Fraternal Order of Police, which is statewide, Missouri. And every time something happens somewhere else, my officers get to pay for it.
Sure.
And look, they know the job is tough, and they're great people, and yes, there are always bad apples. Everyone's going to say I'm apologizing. I'm not apologizing ever for bad apples. But, you know, they get blamed for every incident that occurs all over the country. And, you know, that is rough to me because so now there's going to be a call for more training or more policy or more things for something that didn't happen here. And, you know, it's hard now they're responsible for every incident that happens.
You know, I had this. Let's see if I took a screen capture of this because I was just absolutely shocked here. Maybe I shouldn't be. Lori Lightfoot is the mayor of Chicago. And she said this, simply put, we failed Adam and we cannot afford to fail one more young person in our city. We live in a city that is traumatized by a long history of police violence and misconduct. So while we don't have enough information to be the judge and jury of this particular situation, it's understandable why so many of our residents are feeling that this is too familiar. You know what's familiar in Chicago is people dying at record paces in the last couple of years.
We failed this kid way before he got the gun. That's where they failed the child long before.
But again, the effort is, and this will happen with our new mayor here, Tashara Jones, our circuit attorney, Wesley Bell, and Jane. We're going to get to the video that was finally released yesterday. In fact, let's segue into that because this makes a really, really good point. The shooting from the Galleria, August of 2019, that
Wesley
Bell held on to it. We knew what happened. The guy had a gun. There were people lying that he didn't have a gun. There was video that showed the gun. And guess what? Finally yesterday, after he sat on this for months and months and months, did nothing.
More than a year.
The video comes out. And guess what? He had a gun. And it was a completely justifiable shoot.
And do you remember at the time when this happened, I was actually the fool that actually went on Twitter to try to dispel some of the lies.
Right.
I mean, I got dive bombed. I got threatened with doxing. I had anonymous coming after me. I had people from all over the country just dive bombing me on Twitter.
Dang,
72
dang.
Hours
oh, yeah.
of hell.
I remember.
But I took on each one of them and said, you don't know the facts yet. You don't know going on. We're entitled to know the facts. And, you know, and I agree. A lot of people were frustrated. Wesley Bell could have released that a long time ago.
He could have released that video the next day,
yeah.
the day after the shooting.
He let the narrative go. If it made the cop look bad, it would have been released that evening.
Absolutely.
But he held on to it for a year and let these poor officers have the cloud over protests. I mean, we wouldn't have had all the protests if the video had come out. We wouldn't have had the narrative. And so I don't understand. That's just as detrimental to the community, it's some of the other stuff we're seeing. We have to get the truth
who's
out.
Holding, you know, I'll ask Steve Butz this question. Who's going to hold a guy like Wesley Bell's feet to the fire on that? That's outrageous that he didn't release that video until yesterday.
I'll say only the voters and public opinion, but yeah. yep. Mark, just to add on with the guy, only in America could these things happen. You have to at least acknowledge only in America can everybody have a gun. Can the 13-year-old kid in the alley, he's got a gun. Can the guy in the Galleria, he's got a gun. Can everybody's got a gun. It's part
You know
of
what's
the
interesting,
problem.
Though, Steve? Is I, yeah, Tim, do you have a gun?
Yeah, I do.
I got a gun. I got a bunch of guns. Yeah. Who else in the I'm not
and
shooting people.
You know
but
do.
I'm not shooting people with the guns. Okay, so this whole thing about too many guns, I had this conversation with my friend Rick
there
in Vegas
they
last night.
Break into your car
okay.
and steal
yeah.
them out of
And
there.
Again, so that's, I'm the victim of a crime, and it's my fault that gangbangers are shooting people. I reject that with all of my might.
Mark, I would say there's the culture
it's
of...
All it's all of our fault, Mark. It's all of our fault.
No,
yeah,
it's
see,
not all
yeah,
of
see,
our fault. No, it's not
all
of our fault. I accept no responsibility for a 13-year-old kid yeah. out in the middle of the night. The only part of that responsibility that I'll accept is that we failed these kids with education. And
I
I've been talking about education
Poverty,
reform for two decades.
Economic opportunity, education, all the things that everybody seems to be spouting off about. But yet, we don't talk about that part of the circumstance. We only talk about that he eventually got shot by a police
right.
officer and nothing that led up to that.
And, Mark, these isolated incidences, because they are isolated, you know, Jane's representation of the police aside, I'm a big fan of the police, period, the end, because of law enforcement. I was taught you comply. These incidences began and ended with noncompliance with a lawful order, right? If when the police officer says stop or don't do that or come here, then you do it. You do it. You comply. And then you let the prosecutors and the defense attorneys work out who was right and who was wrong. That's the system of justice, and that's where we've gone. There is no systemic epidemic of police shooting unarmed individuals in this country, and the FBI stats bear me up on that. We have tens of thousands of police encounters every single year. 2018, I think,
millions.
Was the, what, probably millions.
Millions of encounters.
12 people. 12 unarmed people were shot and killed by police officers in 2018. 12 out of millions
there,
of encounters.
There have been 5 so far this year of unarmed people. That's it. In the
5. Out of the millions of encounters.
Right.
So there's no epidemic of this. We ignore the hundreds of killings that occur in urban America every single weekend, but we fixate on the cops because cops are bad because that falls into the narrative of the far left these days, and that's clicks and eyeballs, and that's why nobody watches CNN anymore. That's a different story.
We're not ignoring that level of violence in the inner city. We're not ignoring. It's untrue to say that. There's all kinds of people giving as much effort as they can. You see these people, they're heartbroken at prayer vigils and everything else we're trying to do to stop the violence. So to say it is not either or, it's both and.
But can I push back on that with the leadership? When the leadership wants to defund the police and not prosecute the crimes, that's the failure of leadership. That's the people who don't care about the culture of violence. The citizens in the neighborhoods very, very well, and there's a lot of good people in the city. I have tons of
Absolutely
friends and family in the city. But where's the leadership on that in the city? It's gone from bad to worstest now after this last election.
Is it going to help, Steve? You know, the new mayor is rounding out some appointments, and Dan Isom. I always liked Dan Isom. He's a former chief of police, went mm-hmm. to SLU, I think, was
yep.
teaching
yep.
some classes for a while.
Yep.
Seems like a good guy. Jimmy Edwards was a good guy, didn't get anything done. So is this going to change anything?
Heather Taylor is going to be a special advisor
wait,
to the mayor.
To say that Jimmy Edwards got nothing done, that's not true. Mark, this problem continues on. We've had it in the past. We'll have it in the future. But you have to believe that.
What did Jimmy Edwards accomplish? Can you tell me what he accomplished and what the Chiefs accomplished and what Lyda Crewson's accomplished?
Yeah. What? I mean, yes, there's a lot they've accomplished. I mean, start with Lyda Crewson. We got through the pandemic.
About with crime. Yeah, I know she wants everyone to wear masks, and I got that message.
The crime
I'm talking about
thing,
people being shoot that didn't have masks
we had
on.
The,
shot.
We had the crime thing with Shamel. We've been down this road before. It's never ending. Because it's never ending in the past, we got to keep working on it.
What I will say is Lida did get Prop P, and she did get officers a raise, which was desperately needed. It wasn't enough. We did get residency, but we're at record murders.
Well, I'm talking about crime. I was specifically talking about that. Hang on. State Rep Steve Butts, Jane Duker, Tim Jones, all on the panel. It's a Reardon Roundtable for a Friday, 97.1 FM Talk.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. It's a Reardon Roundtable, 97.1 FM Talk for a Friday afternoon as we take you into the weekend. State Rep Steve Butts, former House Speaker Tim Jones. I think you might be familiar with him on this radio station. Jane Duker also with us. Steve, let me start with you on the police shooting stuff. Let's talk about Derek Chauvin, and that trial is going to go to closing arguments on Monday. I have, you know, you're, I think, always a little disadvantaged when you can't see all of the testimony because only the members of the jury are going to have the final say and really be educated on everything that happened. But in watching this a fair amount, I don't think the defense has done enough to prevent a guilty verdict on at least one of these charges. Have you paid enough attention? And then the question is, even if there's a guilty verdict, is it going to be enough?
Paid attention, and I think you're exactly correct. I do think the officer is going to be found guilty. I can't imagine otherwise in this case. The evidence seemed overwhelming, the video conclusive, so many eyewitnesses, and then, of course, the testimony, as you noticed, and Jane, I'm sure you could comment on this, several officers spoke against the procedures and that that Officer Chauvin did that day. Mm-hmm. So will it be enough? My hunch is for some, no, it will not be enough. But justice is difficult to attain, I think, when there's a horrible crime. You know, I can attest to that personally. And it's maybe never enough when somebody takes the life of your loved one. I can tell you that. That hurt never goes away.
Unfortunately, Steve knows as well because he lost a sister under terrible circumstances. Jane, to his point on this deal, the officer, this is rare. You know, you do have officers that are that are testifying, and they did not testify in a way that would help Derek Chauvin at all.
No, and let me be clear about something. That police department was not even accredited, okay? And any accredited police department, which includes St. Louis City, St. Louis County, and numerous other good municipal police departments in the St. Louis region, you know, and you've had Tim Fitch on. He said, I have not seen a chokehold in 30 years. I mean, so this was so clearly out of bounds. And I think, you know, people have been very clear that this was out of bounds. And we never want to stop calling out procedures, you know, especially bad procedures that lead to deaths. I mean, justice is, you know, the system is working. You're right. I don't think justice is, you know, justice is a very difficult and elusive thing. But the system is taking care of this. While people will still be upset because he didn't deserve to die that way. There's no other way to say that. And I'm the biggest defender of police officers, but there's no excuse for it. And so I think hopefully the jury will get this case and they will deal with it. And you know, and look, we passed a reform bill in Missouri that by law now bans a practice that, you know, that nobody should be doing. And we were able to police ACLU, all the interest groups got together and came up with a police reform bill that is going to pass.
Jane, real quick. Could I ask you, you mentioned Minneapolis not being an accredited police department, you know, that's beyond the pale, right? How is that possible?
Yeah, what does that mean, and how is it possible?
What does that mean? Because we've got a lot of small departments that are not accredited, right?
That is true.
You can't go to an unaccredited kindergarten, I wouldn't think. So have a police department that's unaccredited?
You're singing to the choir. CALEA is the international accrediting agency for police departments. And interestingly enough, Councilman Tim Fitch serves, and he goes out and surveys, police departments all over the country to see if they can be certified. St. Louis County has the highest CALEA designation given in the world. Hmm. Okay, so they are a premier agency in the world. St. Louis City is CALEA certified. So to me, it is inexcusable. People need to understand, you wouldn't, like you said, you wouldn't send your child to an unaccredited daycare. You wouldn't send your child, you know, to an unaccredited school if you had, you know, if you could, you know. So yes, and people forget that. So police departments have to be trained properly. They have to be. Frankly, I don't think there should be any in St. Louis County that aren't certified.
So the thing, though, with this, I don't know a lot of people that would, maybe some people would argue that what Derek Chauvin did was okay because of what happened leading up to putting his knee on his neck. But mm-hmm. I think most people think that what he did there for those 9 minutes is not appropriate. But then the question is, what is the law that was broken? And this is where it gets tricky because we have second degree unintentional murder. For that conviction, the state will have had to have shown beyond a reasonable doubt that he caused Floyd's death while assaulting him. That's the most serious charge, and maybe they have done this. But then there's third-degree murder. They dismissed that charge and denied a request from the prosecution to reinstate it. But there is a second-degree manslaughter charge here, I think, too. In order to convict him of that, prosecutors will need to show beyond a reasonable doubt that he was culpably negligent and took an unreasonable risk. That seems like where they would get the conviction, if there's a conviction. But if that happens, I guess my point would be, if it's a second-degree manslaughter, will that be enough for the protesters? My guess is no.
Nothing is.
Yeah, it never seems like it is, but it should be. And so, Mark, what about all the people who are trying to live and work in Minneapolis? I saw an interview this week with a fella named Mo Habib, who owns a sneaker emporium, you know, near Minneapolis. And after the George Floyd incident, his store, which was like 5 miles away, was ransacked. And it just happened again after the Dante Wright situation. And his store is 15 miles away from Brooklyn Center. So there is a group of instigators that are using these instances to act like, you know, how are you being oppressed by destroying someone's livelihood? You know, how is the sneaker emporium, how are they at fault for your oppression? You know, it's ridiculous. The system is working here. And from what I've heard, yes, Derek Chauvin, I'm a former prosecutor. I was a defense attorney. And I also lost a family member when I was in college. It's a very long story where John Ashcroft and Kenny Holsoff and Judge Ronnie White were all involved. And I'll tell you that sometime. But I lost my aunt. So I'm also a member of a family that has lost, that has paid the ultimate sacrifice losing a family member. So I understand all this. But I also talked to a defense attorney this week, Mark, who was a former prosecutor. And the guy is 80 years old and he's been defending people for 50 years. He said, Derek Chauvin did something wrong. I haven't watched every single second of the case, but I can tell you, there was something wrong with that. I don't know if the policies and procedures are wrong. I don't know if he didn't follow them correctly. But there's got to be some kind of justice here for that. So whatever the situation may be, you have to accept the result of the result of the 12 peers on the jury, right? That's supposed to be the system. You don't get to retry it by destroying your neighborhoods and burning down other people's lives and livelihoods.
But that's seemingly
where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and that's the problem. Now you have, you know, with the Dante Wright situation, I don't know what the answer is with that because it's horrible what happened. I can understand, maybe I can't understand why the officer did that in the heat of the moment, but does she deserve to go to prison for that?
You know,
that's why I have juries.
You would think.
Well, I know. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And they're going to have a lot of explanations on the difference between a taser and a handgun, right? And why, obviously, you can, okay, so here's a situation, right, where you almost, for a fact, know the intent of the officer because she's saying it, right, in a present sense impression fashion
over and
on
over
the
and
tape.
Over. Yeah.
Taser, taser, taser. I don't think anybody's, you know, going to say that she's that malicious that she was saying that she meant to shoot.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right? Yeah,
no, that's not
people
right.
are saying
because,
that?
Yeah, Congresswoman Tlaib has said that.
Well,
Ben Crump has said that. No, I'm telling you, they say this is not an accident. This was intentional.
I wouldn't say
it was that, but it seems unbelievable that a 26-year-old veteran of a police department would not. I don't care about the heat of the moment there. There's three other officers, middle of the day, and you don't know that you've got your gun and not your taser.
Well, they had this situation at Schnucks that was similar. It does seem crazy, but you know, when you look at the video, and I'm not going to excuse what happened because the kid shouldn't have died, and he was unarmed, but he resisted and he tried to take the car. In fact, he succeeded in that. So she definitely had good reason to tase him, right?
And how did the three officers not successfully handcuff the perpetrator? It was 3-on-1. I don't know how the kid got away. I wasn't there. I'm saying There are people, a lot of people, who have lost faith in the system. That's just a fact. And
but what should we do? Because it seems like the solution from many people in our community in Chicago and Minneapolis is just let's not worry about these criminals. Let's let them do whatever they want. First of all, if I was a cop, I wouldn't stop anyone, because why would you put your life can change in an instant and be ruined because of something that you may or may not have done. So
Rashida Tlaib is convincing police officers all across the land to stop doing their job, basically.
Yeah, right. And I think she's been very successful at that. But, you know, what I'm asking is serious questions, Steve. So in that situation, the guy resists. Let him go? Just let him go? The 13-year-old's running down the alley. He's got a gun. Let's let him go. If he kills someone else, it's okay.
These procedures, I'm just saying there's three officers there to arrest and handcuff the guy, and somehow that didn't happen. And that happened with him not having a weapon in broad daylight. That's kind of different from the 2 o'clock in the morning in an alley.
I do think she wanted to tase him.
Hard to take.
And I think
that's what she kept saying.
And I think taser probably is protocol. And but look, we had a case in St. Louis where, you know, an officer did reach wrong and instead of pulling the taser, pulled the gun. Look, I don't know if it's a great excuse, but that's why you send something like that to a jury, and she's been charged.
Yeah, she has been.
Okay, but it's not a good excuse. It's just not. It's too hard to take.
Hang on. State Rep. Steve Butts, Tim Jones, Jane Duker, all on the Reardon Roundtable, 97.1 FM Talk. One more segment. Hey, look at that. The Tim Jones Show, Sunday night. The host of that show is on the Reardon Roundtable this afternoon.
So weird seeing you sit over there.
I know. It is weird, isn't it? Because you've been in this studio how many times, and this is the first time we've done this together. I'm getting used to it, though. I kind of like the... The FM vibe, if you will. All right. State Rep. Steve Butts is with us this afternoon. He's on the Zoom call. We hope to get everyone in the studio very soon. Tim Jones, Jane Duker. Jane, there was something that you were tweeting about this morning, and maybe I'm a little late to the game on this, but with Rochelle Walton Gray, who was hoisted out of office in the fall but got a nice cushy job with the Page administration in St. Louis County, right?
Yes. Well, there was a couple things that happened in between. She lost the election. She was replaced by Shalonda Webb by the voters. I mean, summarily. And she was the woman that voted after her term was over. So her term was over on December 31st, and Lisa Clancy and Sam Page decided, you know, they wanted to keep Lisa Clancy as chair, and they wanted to prevent the new councilwoman from voting on the leadership.
By the way, Tim, these are Jane's peeps that she's talking about.
I understand.
They're faintly all familiar.
Yeah, I know.
I served with Steve Webb. He was a good dude.
Yeah, all right.
Very good guy. And anyway, so she voted illegally to try to keep both Lisa Clancy and Ernie Trakas in leadership for the council. Then they had the audacity to sue the rest of the council so that Lisa Clancy could stay chair to keep it
and
from.
How much did that cost? That
$127,000 in legal bills, just and there may be more bills coming in, but just for the councilman, just their bills for having been sued by the county council.
You still got an army of lawyers running around.
Oh my God!
Sam Page should have to. They should have to reimburse.
Absolutely.
That was nonsense.
Oh, but it gets better. Oh, that's not enough though, because not only did they have to pay all the lawyers for their power grab and their illegal nonsense, Rochelle Walton Gray for her trouble in breaking the law, got a six-figure job, $120,000 job.
Doing what?
She's a vaccine coordinator.
She's the vaccine coordinator making $120K.
Yes.
Democrats have got, they got this whole thing figured out.
What's she been doing for that job?
Well, no one knows what she's doing. Yeah. That's true. And it's interesting because the legislature had their charity softball game on Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And at the same time, we were hearing
that. Did she have a team?
Well, no, she was in Jeff City for the game. And we're hearing that St. Louis County couldn't fill all the appointments for vaccines at their centers. And she is in Jeff City at the softball game. So I don't know what she's doing. It's so obvious that they basically just paid her to stay and take a vote.
Steve Butts, do you have a different take on that at all?
No, because, when you live in the city, I don't want to cast any stones. I only know what...
Hey, the city's functional, comparatively.
I will say, that's good, got us off the front page, but I will say I was at the softball game with my team, Z-Tub, played 3 games, and I can barely walk still.
Yeah, I don't know why the vaccine coordinator needed to be there. You've all been vaccinated.
Happens when we're done with the vaccines in a couple months, right? Then what does she do?
What
does she coordinate next?
Good question. I mean, because she has all that training working at her dad's law firm.
On the vaccine front, this whole thing, the kerfuffle with the J&J vaccine, I don't think was handled very well, Tim, by the Biden administration, because they scared the hell out of people. you know, essentially. Now, maybe they could have had some messaging about restricting the doses to young women in particular, where there might have been some concerns. But then they decided to talk about the blood clots. And even though there's more people that get blood clots from Tylenol or certainly from the coronavirus itself, they shut down that vaccine. So where does that leave us? Because it's interesting to me. Michigan is like Brazil right now, or like Italy at its worst point. That makes no sense. The hospitals are being overwhelmed. Everything that we were warned about is actually happening in Michigan. Missouri, I think we're doing pretty well. Texas, where they had that huge super spreader event when they opened up the state, Steve. Remember? You've heard all these things, and Tim, for the past few weeks, all those
impending
doom hasn't happened. That
impending doom. Happened. Yeah, the CDC director said
there would
be impending
doom. But isn't it all confusing, though, what we're hearing right now?
It is very confusing. And so the thing is with the vaccine, you're right. I was going to give the Tylenol example. If we treated the rest of life and the adverse reactions to life that you can experience when you literally step foot outside the threshold of your door, we would literally stop the world, right, on its axis. We are treating COVID-19 like it is the bubonic black plague, and it's not. We now know what it is. After 15 months, I welcome the once great party of data and science at the DNC to come into the 21st century at 2021, because we know so much more about this disease now, right? It is a disease that unfortunately, by and large, affected the very sick and the very, very elderly. And you look at the states that have opened up, Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Florida, Missouri, and we're all doing so much better than California, New York, and Michigan. The CDC even now agrees that kids should be back in school. There's a gazillion studies out there from Stanford University, chief amongst them. Lockdowns don't work. So let's get with the program. Let's address this thing. Let's get people back. I have no problem with the vaccine. You know, I'm not one of I'm a Neanderthal, but I'm not a Neanderthal that hates vaccines. I'm half vaccinated. Going to get my next shot next week.
Me too.
I'm cool with that. That's fine. Let's get back and open up society. But keeping us locked down like Michigan is continuing to do, we now see as an utter abject failure. Governor Cuomo and Governor DeSantis had very different approaches to this. I would rather be a Floridian right now than a New Yorker, and I've been in both states.
Well, Tim, I'm sure you misspoke. You didn't mean to say DNC. You meant to say CDC, I'm sure, because, you know, at least we want to agree that the CDC is, you know, running most of this information. You know, it is the nature of viruses. We've been talking about this way too long. You can lock it down, and it works absolutely in some places. Other places, it doesn't. But there is good science behind everything we know. Wear a mask when you need to, social distance, get the vaccine when it's available for you, and then carry on with life. There's a balance between all of it, and you could point to examples where the lockdowns worked unbelievably well. Some spots in Europe, other spots in Europe, not so much.
Well,
so,
I mean, you can say that, but when the lockdowns may have worked temporarily, but when they
long-term,
had
they do
that
not work.
Second wave, they had similar lockdowns and they didn't work. So
although,
I don't know what to believe on
although
that.
Steve Butts right there was much more optimistic and much more positive than anything I've ever heard Tony Fauci say. And Fauci now can't decide if we should wear one mask, two masks, three masks, or no masks. That guy never wants us to come out of our Joe Biden basements. You know, I don't know what the deal is with Fauci these days. He needs to shut up and go back to whatever he was doing before we all knew his name.
Don't you think if you get more, and I think more and more people, Tim, you're getting your second shot next week. I'm getting my second shot. Jane, you've had both, right?
Yeah, but I'm 2 weeks out, so I'm fully
okay. Right.
Fully
and
viable.
Steve,
that's
you've
why
had
you're
both
you're
as well.
Clean
people
and fresh
are
now.
Going to feel like they can go and do things, and they want to do things, and they want to go
and
to
you can't.
Dinner. Right? You
and
can
you can't.
Do that. You can. However, you're still gonna now. Here. I went to a baseball game this week. I didn't wear my mask inside the park. Okay, I did when I was in the concourse, and I've just to be clear, if an usher would have asked me to, I would have not been disrespectful to the volunteer usher. But to have a mask requirement in an outdoor stadium is just dumb. It really, especially when probably 2/3 of the people in there have been vaccinated. But we're not going to be able to get away from that stuff either.
No. So what? So what, Mark? Wearing the mask a little bit outside, just get used to it. My kindergarten
No. I don't want to get used to it when it's 95 degrees at Busch Stadium. Sorry. I don't want to wear a
95.
Mask. Well,
it's
we'll
not
be.
95. By the time it's hot, everybody will be vaccinated. Many more people will be vaccinated.
I'm not convinced that we're going to still be allowed to do
either.
Things when we're vaccinated.
We're doing stuff. We're doing stuff now. Go out on a Friday night. It's awesome.
King Page won't let anybody do anything.
Who's that?
King Page.
Only if you're in the city can you party.
Exactly. I mean, everybody goes to the city. So, Butts, you should be happy because of all the county residents that are going into the city. So, I mean, we still have 50% requirements in the restaurants.
Which I don't understand at all.
And, I'm not kidding you. It's still more than an inch and a half stack of paper of all the regulations that people are still under in St. Louis County. I just don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Lyda was more normal. I loved seeing that interview where Lyda basically said that working with Paige was pretty darn difficult, which is basically what everybody says anyway. But so it was good that she got to say it.
Let me address one more issue that I think is a pretty serious issue facing this community and this region, and that's the stupid people that I think should be immediately jailed, perhaps for long term, that are doing this at the state. All this woo thing.
I know.
It's just utterly, and now because the stadium's not very full, you can hear them all the time. Ugh. And you can hear them on the broadcast. And a lot of people have been joking about it. It's the most annoying damn thing.
Why do they get pleasure out of it? I mean, what's wrong with these people? Who hurt them?
We don't want to be known for this.
Right.
You know? And that's the problem, is they're going to start tagging St. Louis as the woo city or
whatever. I went to PNC, which is a beautiful ballpark in Pittsburgh, a couple of summers, two summers in a row, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. This was before my daughter was born, so maybe 6, 7 years ago. And they were doing it there, and it was very apparent because nobody goes. I was joking with a friend that I went with the other night who's a Pirates fan. I said, hey, this was Fitz. But so you know, he's a big Pirates fan. It's kind of like being at a Pirates game. There's nobody here. But the wound to me is why, Jane, to your point, why people think it's something they should do is beyond me.
And attention seeking.
I'm really not even joking about it. I wish people would be removed from
the stadium. Doesn't that have something to do with Ric Flair, the famous wrestler?
Yes. That's the origin.
He would not approve. I firmly
I don't think he would either.
Here's where I am. Don't have to wear masks at Busch Stadium, but if you woo, you're getting booted. And fine. Hey, thanks for coming in the studio, Timmy. Appreciate you. You can hang if you want
live
the next hour.
Flush.
Jane, you're going to hang for a little while?
I'm hanging.
Yeah, let's do some more. Steve, great to have you on. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Bye, Steve.
Thanks, Mark.
Another Reardon Roundtable in the books.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.